You are listening to a sermon by J. Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, November 10th, 2024, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
If someone asked me, "Tell me about your church," what would they think if I said, "We are a peace church. God is a God of peace, and we are learning what peace means. You want to come and see?" Tomorrow is Remembrance Day, at least for nations which were allies during World War I. By contrast, on two Sundays before Advent, people in Germany will be remembering and mourning all those who have fallen in war, both soldiers and civilians on both sides. Helmut Lemke's interesting article on this Friday's email reminded us that mothers on both sides of the wars have lost sons and daughters, and the hopes and dreams of lovers on both sides were crushed by death or by what war did to minds and bodies of their former lovers. Helmut also reminded us that war never solves anything. The real issues behind war too often include power and the desire to control. As a pacifist, Remembrance Day always makes me uneasy. I respond to Remembrance Day differently than do most of my friends. I do not wear a red poppy. That is my quiet way of honoring Dad, who was the conscientious objector to war. After the war, Dad never wore a red poppy. He hoped that that might be a witness and it might start a conversation with someone. Then I became friends with Hans from Austria. Born in 1930, Hans was forced to be in the Nazi army as soon as he turned 14. The red poppies in Vancouver always reminded Hans that he was an outsider, that he was once hated by the people the red poppies honored. On the other hand, Grandpa Kreider was a bank teller in Ohio. Grandpa wore a red poppy. I think he wanted to blend in, but Grandpa was a pacifist to the core. Nothing is simple. Most denominations are all for peace, but they also have long histories of supporting military conflict. And some denominations put nationalism and Christianity on equal footing. That's the kind of thinking that led Lutherans and Catholics from North America to fight against Lutherans and Catholics in Germany and Austria. Both sides prayed to God. Poor God. Increasingly, Mennonites have been asking whether we should be strictly mission-minded, talking about salvation, or should we be reviving interest in being a peace church? Should we start to teach peace again, or would that hurt church growth? Maybe we should convert people first, and then, if there's time, introduce peace. I think the New Testament gives equal time to grace and peace. Jesus clearly lived and taught peacemaking. However, Jesus did not avoid conflict, but he looked for ways to use conflict to point out that things needed to be changed. Jesus did not avoid conflict, but as a peacemaker, he also did not engage in physical violence with people. Jesus actually wanted peace between Jews and Romans and spoke freely with people from both opposing groups. Of course, ultimately, Jesus did not succeed in that. It ended up people from both groups got together briefly and ganged up on him and got rid of him. But this did not kill his message and teaching about peace. In the book of Acts, we read that people in the early church, groups who were once at least separated and sometimes even angry with each other, these were now trying to be people of peace. So you hear of Hellenist Christians starting to worship with Jewish Christians. Sometimes at the Lord's table, there would be both kosher Jews and non-kosher Gentiles. All were there trying to get along in peace as children of God under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In Acts 10, we have today's detailed story about how Peter and Cornelius met. Peter, that small business fisherman from Galilee, was brought to Caesarea, a town obviously founded by Caesar. His very name, that's what the name says. Caesarea was a military base for the Romans. It was a headquarters of Roman power in Palestine. Caesarea was filled with temples and idols. Cornelius was of the Italian cohort, which suggests to me that Rome considered Palestine a truly difficult area to govern. And so Rome used Italian soldiers rather than non-Italian mercenaries. Cornelius was a centurion, a Roman officer in charge of 100 soldiers, and therefore, presumably, a political enemy of Peter. Yet, interestingly enough, Cornelius was also a monotheist who believed that there was just one God. And it's said that he gave alms generously in Palestine to the people he was occupying. Peter represented the new church in Jerusalem and was one of its early leaders. He was obviously most comfortable when he was with Jews, preferably Jews who were kosher. But Peter's dream convinced him that he needed to be at peace not only with kosher Jewish Christians, but also with non-kosher Romans who believed in God, even though they were still occupying Palestine. Peter tells Cornelius that Jesus is Lord of all, and that Jesus has announced the good news of peace. What had Jesus meant by the good news of peace? Jesus taught that God was God of all people, not just God of the Old Testament, who seemed to favor some people more than others. In life, Jesus lived out peace. He associated with both women and men, peace between genders and gender roles. Jesus associated with both Jews and Romans, peace between people from nations that are in a state of war. And Jesus associated both with left-wing zealots and right-wing tax collectors, or they were called tax farmers. Peace among people having vastly different political ideas and views. We don't know what happened to Cornelius. Did he leave the army? Was he given a farm when he retired in Palestine? Did he go back to Rome? Did he seek out Christians in Caesarea? Was he still around when Jerusalem fell? We don't know. We think we know a little what happened to Peter. He returned to Jerusalem and started trying to convince people that the church should accept people like Cornelius, admit them as Christians, even though they are non-Jewish Romans. They are following God and want to learn about the teachings of Jesus. Tradition tells us that Peter later went to Rome and helped to found a multi-ethnic church there. We think Peter was finally crucified in Rome by the so-called enemies that he had refused to exclude from the church. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And look at what comes next. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For as Paul wrote to the Romans, we are justified by faith. We, you and I, you Romans and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or as he wrote to the Philippians, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I'll add, whether those requests are answered the way you want or not, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace of mind is the best peace. As the words went through my mind while Rosemary played this morning, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Tell me about your church. Well, even though we're probably the only Mennonite church in British Columbia that's not Peace Mennonite, we are a church of peace. God is a God of peace. And we're trying to learn what that means. It's fascinating. Come and see.